Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never. I hope everybody, I think a lot of people really that see the signs of the times, understand just how close we are, to the, you know, the overwhelming, I'll just say, the second coming is so close, folks. And I'm not trying to get, I don't want to get religious and I don't want to get preachy or anything like that. But when you see evil and evil throughout the world, that there are no, it seems like our government and those who are purveying the paradigm, the mainstream media and the spokesmen, as far as what the mainstream media focuses on and that narrative, it's almost like Plato's, you know, Republic. It is almost like, you know, global communism is already in effect. Like it or not, here we come. So what is it you're going to do about it? I mean, we're going through the content. We're going through the material. And as much as everybody, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about SCOTUS? And who doesn't want to talk about Roe v. Wade? Because that happens to be the grapefruit of the day, as Jerry Doyle used to always call it. I mean, it's the one thing that they'll march out and they will show you and say, look at this. You know, this is going to happen. And in all honesty, it's really what's going to happen isn't what you think is going to happen. Because bottom line, even though there may seem to be changes, you know, most people think that the Satan, the Antichrist, is going to be one of these guys that are, you know, just going to exude evil. And I'm telling you, the reason the whole world is going to be deceived is because he won't seem evil. He'll seem good. People will worship him. That's what the Bible says. It'll get to a point where people will be demanding, you know, those who refuse will be killed or what have you. And I'm paraphrasing, but the fact is that the world is going to be deceived. And the great deceiver is very good at what he does. He's destroyed many societies. So let's not, you know, marginalize the magnitude of what we're facing, where we are in this stage of society. This is the final stage. We've got to do something. Don't think that what SCOTUS is doing, excuse me, by the way, don't think that what SCOTUS is doing is, you know, the right thing to do. As a matter of fact, they're just continuing and perpetuating the problem. So what I want to do is I'll just give you some quick context to SCOTUS and the 2022 election. Because bottom line, there are ways of removing and basically dismantling abortion and all of the evil things that our government is doing. There's the right way to do this, and there's a wrong way to do this. And every time we allow these people who claim to be capable of creating or taking away rights, such as SCOTUS, I'm sorry, folks, they don't have that power. They don't have the power to make things happen, but they've been doing it, and so they think they've got the power to undo it. What really should happen is SCOTUS should send a directive out of this opinion and or ruling, whatever it is that they're using for the Roe v. Wade, because to me, it doesn't matter. What they're doing is wrong. What they should do is they should basically communicate to Congress that the federal courts should never have reviewed this. But they're not going to do this. Because why? Because they'd have to relinquish their control over the sovereignty of the states and the people. And they have no plans in doing that. So I'll tell you what the danger is on the flip side. But what they should do is they should send a directive to Congress that Congress must declare that the Supreme Court, the federal court system, and the federal government cannot get involved in anything that is not enumerated to the federal government to do. In other words, they should never have taken up this case. It should never have gotten into and permeated within the federal court systems. It should never have been reviewed that these are state issues and the federal court system and the federal government's jurisdiction is limited as it was defined many times over in all of the states, in every state that vigorously debated the Constitution. In every single one of these states, it was clearly delineated that the jurisdiction of the federal government was limited to those enumerated roles, responsibilities, powers, and property that they could possess. That's it. They can't do anything more. There's no portal for them to all of a sudden make things greater. Actually, there is. There's one portal. It's called the Article 5 Amendment Process. That is the only way, that is the only portal that can give and delegate new roles, responsibilities, powers, or property to the federal government. Now, I used to say RRP, roles, responsibilities, and powers, but I had to add the property just due to the fact that property is clearly enumerated in the Constitution, and it becomes the essence of their power, because property being money and property being actual, you know, land and or things that they possess. Well, we had to kind of add that extra P, so now we kind of have to scrub all of our documents to go to RRPP, because we want to place context. We want to place constitutional context to the fact that they don't have, or that they have specified enumerated property and buildings, those types of that kind of property, real property and or property. In other words, tangible things to possess, like coining of money, those types of things. Because remember, as Madison said, if you have rights in your property, then you have property in your rights. And so they have roles, responsibilities, and powers, and there's property in that as well. And that's why the Supreme Court can literally say that they only have property over those things that arise under the Constitution, or they have jurisdiction over those things that arise under the Constitution. Property and jurisdiction, I'm interchanging here. But the fact is, they can't just with a wave of a wand constitutionally say that, oh, well, we view this as a state's issue now. And the real danger behind this, folks, and this is what you have to understand. The danger behind this is what happens when Congress violates the Constitution and stacks the court and actually stacks it. See, we're not to have a political form of government. We're to have a Republican form of government. And what everybody has basically, you know, they may get you to think that we have a democracy. Yeah, it's in some ways they have perverted our system to becoming a democratic form of government. But truth be told, they have created a political and or a party system government. And so those who are in control of this little slice of the pie, they can use their political agenda to drive things in the direction they want, which means that all you have to do is change the makeup of that little component and they can undo what you did, because it's all ebb and flow, folks. The Constitution means nothing. Well, that's how they're treating it, and that's how they're acting, and that's how they're behaving. So the fact of the matter is, when they do stack the court, because they've already said that they wanted to do that, and now they have the need, because, I mean, look at the last justice, Jackson, that just got added to the court. Are you kidding me? What a joke. What a joke. As a matter of fact, most of the justices have been, you know, comical at best. They're farceurs. I'm telling you, this last appointment is absolutely a blatant insult to the concept of what the Supreme Court was supposed to be. Not an activist. They've all been activists. You know, there have been a few that have been pretty decent. Not many. Not enough. We haven't had enough. Not even going all the way back to John Marshall have we had enough at any point in time. They've always worked together to tote the line of aggrandizing their position and maintaining their unconstitutional positions. So what's going to happen? Here's the danger. Well, when they do stack the court and they do actually reinvoke this new Supreme Court, who's to say that this new Supreme Court isn't going to not just restore this right of abortion, but let's say they add the right of infanticide. Now you can kill your infants and your children. Let's say they even go further to say it's okay, because we look at these, you know, we look at the adults that have this control, and that it's their choice, that if they choose to have a child or a baby for organ harvesting, or even open the door for organ harvesting altogether. Why not? They're doing it in China. Having people live like calves, that, you know, if you've ever heard and understand what a calf goes through. Because I wasn't even thinking about it until it came into my mind. But if you understand the process of what it takes to make veal, to make this, you know, yearling calf of tender meat where it doesn't really develop its muscles, it's very inhumane. It's nasty. So that they can make these veal cutlets and other meat that is coming from these calves that have been deliberately, I'll just say, abused because of the quality or the type of meat. I mean, we get to that point as a society where we become so inhumane. I'm telling you, we're going to turn this corner, that the next time there's a reconstruction of that Supreme Court, or they can move it in the direction, you'll be sorry. We're going to be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and we're going to get into some content, the obligatories, and back into the content we were covering. So we'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business, with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL, or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. So I can't emphasize enough how it is so important that the Supreme Court basically lay out this directive to tell Congress, you need to actually clarify this. Now, we know Congress won't do it. Just because you can't get somebody to do the right thing doesn't alleviate your responsibility of doing the thing, something right. Right? And so this is why this, what they're doing, is critical and it's important. And it actually lends to the 2022 election. So this is how, you know, we can look at the Roe v. Wade and the 2022 election as far as the removal of the Biden administration and making this language clear, because this actually feeds the campaign. If you understand that if we start creating the dialogue in every congressional race, in every congressional race in this nation, for both Senate and House races that will be, you know, determined in November 2022, if we create the dialogue that everybody in America has to observe, look at, and objectively come to a conclusion how the Constitution, because you can't look at the Electoral College Clause and say, hey, yeah, we're following that. You can't. And you can clearly look at how the states violated this. I don't care if somebody comes along and says, well, okay, technically you're right, but so what? We've been doing it this, are you kidding me? Well, so what? We've been sliding on all these other laws. Let's just exterminate you people that say so what. How'd you like that? I believe everybody wants the full support and the full protection under the law in a Republican form of government. And I'll tell you what, they sure used it with Russia, 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 and foreign collusion and all that crap under Trump's administration. This is the hypocrisy of all of this. So when they say, so what? You say, shut up. We're tired of your hypocrisy. We live in a Republican form of government. We have the right and the responsibility to ensure that the rule of law is maintained. You don't like that? Revoke your citizenship. We will escort you out. We're tired of you. It's that simple, folks. We've got to start doing the right thing. And that's why we need to make this 2023 removal of the Biden administration a part of the dialogue. Because if we actually do this, and this goes hand in hand, I mean, anybody out there that's campaigning, that's talking about the Biden administration and, you know, fixing the constitutional crisis that Congress created in January 6, 2021, by accepting an unconstitutionally seated electoral college. If they actually start talking about this dialogue, they can actually turn right around and say, look, it's the same thing with this Roe v. Wade. The federal court has never had the jurisdiction over things not enumerated. It's clear their jurisdiction is limited to things that arise under the Constitution. There's no such thing as implications. There's no such thing as emanations from penumbras. It is either enumerated or it is not. You don't get away with executing something that is not defined within a specified power of attorney. And it's the same thing with our Constitution. Folks, this becomes the real education when these candidates that are challenging those who are in the status quo. We need to get CMR, my representative, out. We need to have the dialogue so that everybody that is in her district understands this coming election is about removing the Biden administration. You can't tell me that, you know, we have whatever the other agendas are for 2023 and 24 for this coming session. It pales in comparison to removing Biden, this unconstitutional hack that has no business being in the power that he has, especially based on the process that was used in him obtaining that position. It's all fraud. We have to force compliance to the Constitution. So this is why your First Amendment petitions are so critical. So I don't want to go too much further into this. Let me just start flying through some of this obligatory stuff. So as you know, you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And this is a show that's also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. Wyoming Conservative, or what I'd like to say, Constitutional Chronicle, Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is an exemplary paper and periodical that you really need to actually get your hands on so that you can start using this as a comparison within your own state, your own county, and so forth. We also want to basically point you to the constitutioneducation.us with Keith Broders. As we start talking about the Constitution, having curriculum and having videos and education that people can kind of go and bite into and go, wow, I never thought about that. That's interesting. I never knew this. I never looked at it that way. That's how we shift paradigms, folks. It's about introducing them to the facts. Hey, come on over here. I've got a fact here for you. Wow, I did not know that. Now, good people will actually stand up and do something about it. Now, bad people or indifferent people, they're all the same, right? If you're not willing to take a stand, you want to just sit on the fence and go, well, we'll see how everything falls. You know what? I believe that as we start separating the wheat from the chaff, you will be out there with the chaff. Anyway, we also highly recommend Stan Kluwit and his radio dust covers for protecting your equipment and protecting your investments with good dust covers. And these are waterproof dust covers, by the way. Check it out. RadioDustCovers.com. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And what I need to do is I need to kind of explain the content moving forward. So, folks, I don't repeat these things very much. So when you get these little tidbits of how things are going to be proceeding forward, we are going to get into the ratification debates. It probably won't be until maybe the 23rd of May. But we will still maintain. So the episodes we're going to air will, you know, have some breaks in them because our focus is the candidates that are running for office and the dialogue of the campaign. I can't be a hypocrite and just say, listen to my content. We have to actually start talking to and listening to those people who are willing to be leaders so that we can help influence them to ensure that their leadership is well-founded in the Constitution, that they will become the warriors in restoring our liberty and actually restoring our constitutional republic. That's why that candidates take priority. So in our next episode tomorrow, I've got an interview with Senator Tom James out of Wyoming. And we're going to be airing this as well as a little bit of feedback that we can squeeze in tomorrow. On Monday, there's an organization we work with. She's been on the show before. It's the Independent American Party. That is Patricia Kent. She's the national chair. I interviewed her. So I'm going to play that interview on Monday. The whole point of this interview and the whole point of me working with the Independent American Party and the Constitution Party is both of these parties have started leaders within these parties. It's nice to see that the national chair is leading on action. You know, we need to get more pressure to the Constitution Party to get more of their leaders to lead on action as well. Because if, you know, when the Constitution Party just wants to do the old status quo of just compare us to them, you know, you don't have us, you have them. And that's why you keep on getting these things. Well, that's not a good sale, my friends. Start showing us how you're actually invoking change and moving us back towards constitutionalities, whether that be, you know, getting, you know, our government to comply and so forth, using First Amendment petitions, those types of things. So this is why these conversations are critical. But conversations with candidates are the top of my list. We need to get their voices to you. And oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, give Senator Tom James your love. This guy bends out. You're going to find out more about him tomorrow, but he goes out of his way as a public servant to help the electorate in Wyoming. You want to help him so that he can start helping our state. I can't tell you enough how important it is to get Wyoming to stand, because if we've got one state standing, now we have somebody that's advocating, you know, besides me and you, to your state representatives, poking them in the eye and saying, you've got to get on board with this before we're all dead, before they kill us all. It is a matter, because when you look at liberty and you live in a life of basically subjugation and all liberty is lost, you are dead. You're just as good as dead. Anyway, let's move forward, because where we left off, and one of the things we're going to have to do some go-backs, but I'm not going to do the go-backs in content. I'm going to do the go-backs, and you're going to have to actually pull this in when we actually post this, but we're going to go back and add in or start inserting these petitions that we believe are relevant that you all need to actually start, you know, embracing, and I don't want to say necessarily embracing, that we need your help to actually get these things to become, the tools to get these things relevant, active, and moving in your county. There we go. Because you need to act upon these. You need to start using these things. Because you know what? When somebody's running at you to kill you, if you don't pull the trigger and shoot a bullet at them, if you don't do something to defend yourself, then you will be overcome. The best weapon we have constitutionally in going after our public servants who are attacking us is the First Amendment petition and then common law courts. But we can't get common law courts without the First Amendment petition. There is a symbiotic relationship here, folks. And there's a symbiotic relationship between you and your public servants and you in challenging them, because they have to understand that you're so fed up, you're willing to replace them, and you know you'll do a better job, and you will. Anyway, we're going into a break. We'll be right back, and we'll be diving right back into the content where we left off. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so the right of conscience as property. Now, Madison, in his essay on property, really dives into the details on this. So, the best thing I can do is actually just tell you that you need to read Madison's essay. I would love to read this to you, and we will read this to you, but I'm not going to take the time now getting through this content, because it's primary time. We're heading into the primaries in less than 2 weeks in Idaho, and so I don't want to necessarily slow things down. And we've got some really important, the Wyoming primary is coming up in the middle, or I think it's the last half of August. The Missouri primary is coming up. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that, you know, we emphasize for you the importance of what this content means, so that you can start sharing this with your state legislators. They need to understand your right of conscience. They need to understand your right of petition. All of these things we're going through. So anyway, the essay that Madison wrote, I'm going to give you some citations out of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So the one thing that I've said, and I've said time and time again, and I already said it today, it's worth quoting again. And this is exactly what he said. I paraphrased it before. Quote, in a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have property in his rights. So in other words, they take your right away, right of religious expression. They stole your property, folks. When you couldn't go to church to actually worship your creator, to worship your savior, you were denied. They stole your property when they did that. Isn't that an interesting paradigm? Citizens have the constitutional right to decide what is best for them and their business. You know, the way they've gone down this in trying to define and define the right of conscience, I do not like the slippery slope we're on. I'm going to give you some actual references from, again, both Madison and some other academic sources. But here we go. This is what James Madison said regarding the right of conscience. James Madison referred to the right of conscience as, quote, the most sacred of all property, close quote. He actually wrote in that essay, government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals. That alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. So in other words, that alone is a just government, a government that is just, that is fair and abiding by the laws that protect our right of property. He continued in stating, quote, if there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former by repelling its example in violating the latter. Will make themselves a pattern to that and all governments. This is powerful stuff, folks. When we really start looking at, because I've gotten engaged a lot lately regarding taxation, regarding direct taxation, regarding the legal discourses, you know, whether that be, is it legal to take your property from you? Property confiscation? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, this week I had this conversation that when we actually have our halls of government, the people must demand that they who govern them keep focus on the reason they exist. Because the reason we created government in America and broke away from England was to ensure that they protected life and property. Because that was what Madison and the framers basically set out to do. And they basically came out and defined government's two primary purposes is to protect life and property. If they take your property, they're no longer protecting it. They're claiming it. And they can't claim your property. The reason they exist is to protect it. Now, it's one thing to be able to create some levels of taxation. And there's another thing of being able to, you know, because it's important that government does have the energy to do the things it needs to do. But it should never be in a position where it kicks grandma out of her home. It should never be in a position where somebody, you know, all of a sudden you're economically, you're upside down. You should never, government should never be saying, it's time you sell your house, or it's time, you know, we take your house. Those conversations should never occur between government and a citizen. We have to start understanding that government does have a need to be able to tax. But before you start complaining about taxation, if you're thinking the taxation is way too onerous, taxation's not the problem, folks. The government is spending too much money on things they have no business spending. Get government to spend on those things that are actually necessary and proper, you'll find that their need to tax will go back to actually just taxing consumption. whether that be a sales tax, whether that be excise taxes, whether that be import taxes. The taxes that we lived with for the first 100 years before the 16th Amendment, we can easily go back. If we force government into behaving and doing those things that they shouldn't be doing, your only problem with taxation will be coming from your state government. But the federal government has no business in being able to directly tax and doing these things. The only reason it justified the 16th Amendment is because Wilson was able to sell in his campaign. He sold to the American people, we're going to buy our way to prosperity. And to do this, we have to spend a little bit of money for, you know, a little bit of money for a little while. So as he started spending money, the debt went up, and everybody, well, the debt was already out of hand. Teddy Roosevelt kind of, you know, helped that. And all of this unconstitutional spending helped that. But the fact of the matter is that now he's had enough people to say, hey, we've got a financial crisis. You know, who's going to pay this debt? And so that's when Wilson gave us the 16th Amendment as the cure for exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. They used the problem to deliver the cure. And so now, because if you read the 16th Amendment, the 16th Amendment does not actually constitutionally say you can spend anything you want. It just says, it just changes the mode of taxation. The real problem that should have been discussed and say, no, we don't need this amendment because you're spending on things you have no authority to spend on. We wouldn't need to have this taxation or this increase or this paradigm. End of discussion. Go back and get back within the framework of the Constitution. You can't buy us into prosperity. You have violated your oath. And actually, he should have been hung as treason because he was waging economic warfare against the Constitution. All of these people that are actually waging warfare, this is an outright insurrection. And just because this insurrection has been going on for well over a century, folks, doesn't make it right. We have to fix this. This is why doing it right is so important. Not just, oh, we're going to educate our way out of this like the John Birchers keep on telling us, or like anybody that, you know, wants to sell you their curriculum. It takes action, and it actually takes an exertion of power. When I say power, political power, when we the people presume power again, and actually start, you know, controlling that fountain of power of our government, that's when we take government back. That is the rule. I mean, that's the fundamental premise. The power of government, the fountain of power for government is the people. That's what Madison said. And even Aristotle, revolts and all of these things come from the power of the people. You know, Napoleon just didn't on his own, you know, commit some coup. He exploited through demagoguery and got people so frustrated and upset. And this is why I hate demagogues like Rand Paul, even Jordan Peterson, these guys on the conservative or the libertarian slant side. You know, I know every time I say something about the Pauls, Ron and Rand, or, you know, Ayn Rand, or Jordan Peterson, or the rest of these folks that, you know, talk intellectually about what the government's supposed to do, we're supposed to be pacifists. No, they're wrong. They don't understand the Constitution, and their misinformation is equally as dangerous as those who have been peddling this revisionist view of our constitutional republic. So anyway, the right of conscience extends to the right to accept or refuse any government offering or service. It's ultimately up to the citizen. The citizen has the choice regardless of reason. You don't have to have a reason. You say, no, I don't want it. It is referred to as a conscientious objection. It doesn't have to be based on faith, and they're trying to pinhole it that they're going to only allow certain faiths. Only certain faiths we're going to allow to do this, folks. Are you kidding me? Boy, I mean, I pity all of those faiths that, you know, were improperly adjusted over time to, you know, put themselves in a position where they might be recognized as conscientious objectors. Are you kidding? Folks, we're going to be right back, and I'm going to get back into this conscientious objection. We'll be right back.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so government cannot constitutionally compel a citizen into receiving a service, benefit, or offering. Now, they've already compelled you with taxations and so forth, such as Social Security, such as some of these other things that, you know, you've been compelled and concocted and, you know, coerced into doing. Well, two wrongs don't make a right. What we have to do is we have to fix it. And so basically saying, you know, you can't do this is not enough. We actually have to shut these things down. And there's a way of doing that without hurting people, folks. This is why I'll just quickly insert, because every time I have to talk about Social Security, we have to understand Milton Friedman's process of actualizing Social Security to where we basically say we end this. It's, you know, nobody is getting into Social Security anymore. And that everything that everybody paid into will be, you know, you'll be compensated based on the plan. In other words, we have to shut down all of these little things that they are doing outside of the Social Security scope, but making sure that everybody that actually put into it that had this expectation of Social Security, they will at least get what they put into it. Some people may need a little bit more because they outlive the benefits or what have you. And this has to all be moved back to the states, but we have to shut this down so that it can no longer be pilfered by Congress, and it can no longer be exploited, and it can no longer be unconstitutionally levied against the people. This is something that has to be fixed, and it can be fixed, and it can be removed without hurting anybody. There are very few things that we actually have to fix like this. But Social Security, everybody calls it the third rail. Fact of the matter is, it can be shut down. We can move on, and we can actualize it without hurting anybody. So if you don't understand, go read Milton Friedman's Free to Choose book, and you'll understand clearly this is a simple process to fix. It may be a costly process, but you'll find that it's not as costly as a lot of this other crap. Just like Medicare and Medicaid, that the federal government should never have been able to get into that either. And that has to end, because that in itself is a self-licking ice cream cone designed to destroy America. All of these things that they have implemented
these, what we call the entitlement state, is designed to destroy America. And there are really good ways of fixing this so that people can get their medication at a very low cost. We'll talk about those types of solutions down the road. What we have to do is we have to actually get government, the genie, back into the bottle. It's that clear. We've got to do that. So use back to the right of conscience. Using a tax, if someone does not comply, is tantamount to a bill of attainder or punishment and is unconstitutional. We're going to get into bills of attainder as well as ex post facto laws. But I just want you to understand, when it comes down to this right of conscience and you say you don't want to do this, and then saying we're going to tax you, or we're going to, you know, fine you, or we're going to do something, then that is a bill of attainder or punishment. And that in itself, the spirit of those are unconstitutional. Government has no business chastising and actually hurting its people because they aren't behaving the way they want them to behave. Taking something that is legal and then making it illegal is tantamount to an ex post facto law. And the right of conscience and saying that you have this right to do this, or coming along and saying you have a right to choose your, you know, health care or what have you. Now they mandate that and say now you have to do that is an ex post facto law as well. So this is why both of these protections within the Constitution from the federal government and the state, bills of attainder and punishment, and ex post facto laws, both of these things we're protected from. And understanding them is important so that you go, wow, okay. You know, now, because it doesn't, you know, a lot of times when I make a comment, sometimes I'm just being funny, but a lot of times when I make a comment, I'm just stating the obvious. If you start understanding these things, you can be that funny person as well, stating the obvious. Because really, if you look at most comedians, a lot of times most comedy is based on the obvious, right? I mean, look at all sitcoms and so forth. Anyway. The next one we want to get into, and this is big, we want to get into state property and resources. And as I look over my shoulder, we got 6 minutes, and there's no way we'll be able to cover this. And in our next episode, we'll try to cover some of this, but I think we'll actually, tomorrow's Feedback Friday, we have that interview with Tom James, so that's going to be, you know, forefront. And then we'll try to get into some feedback. But what we want to do is we really want to isolate this. Because I think everybody who's been seeing these memes regarding food production, regarding lands and you know, foreign investment and foreign controls in America and so forth, I want everybody to understand the context of this and what has to happen, what type of laws, what type of petitions you need to start creating. So out of this actual action that we have here, what we need to do, what we need to get you to understand, is that we need you to actually go into action regarding petitions. What do I mean by this? We need you to start creating petitions. And actually, I talked about this on Tuesday with the National Liberty Alliance. If we could get people from different states to actually start on one very specific petition that they can do, and we get everybody else to do one of the other ones, and we get 90 petitions, then we instantly create 90 templates. Instead of doing this in serial, we can do this in parallel. This is the power of parallel processing. If we have 90 committees out there or 90 leaders out there that are working for their unorganized militia, trying to establish an unorganized militia for a constitutional county, then what we can do is we can create 90 workable petitions so that we can actually promulgate these. And now, instead of you just having one to sign, you'll have 90 to sign right there on your table. And people are going to be so overwhelmed. When they start reading these things, they're going to go, "Wow, you know, I've never looked at things like this." You're absolutely right. We need to get back to gold and silver. Because anybody that thinks it's okay to be paying, you know, $5 a gallon for gas and the money that we're paying for food because of the way our currency is being inflated, you know, will start recognizing that we are, you know, we're being set up to fall. And that if we force the federal government back to the coal or the gold and coin, or gold and silver coin process that the Constitution demands, It fixes our financial problems. It's that simple, folks. So, you know, and there'll be some pain. I'm telling you, every time you know, government does things to you, they adjust your life or something like that. And then when we have to pull these things out, there's going to be some pain. But the pain that we endure will be far less and far more palatable than actually falling into the clutches of subjugation and a complete loss of liberty. You have to understand that the pill, you know, the medicine may be bitter, but it fixes the problem instead of actually falling into the frying pan and dying. Because that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to continue down this path of letting them drop us into the deep fat fryer and it's over, folks. You're just crisp. You're done. So with that, let me start kind of talking a little bit about this state property. And what I want you to understand is when we start looking at the property of or the land within the state boundaries, all of it has some value. Now, we were just talking about property itself and government, you know, seizing property and so forth. Our state governments need to have that same language written around the halls of government, regardless of whether it's a court or whether it is, you know, your legislature, whether it is your law enforcement or what have you. They all need to understand their primary object. The reason they exist is to protect life and property and to figure out how to do that best with the problems that they have to deal with. Taking your property should never be on that table. In other words, removing you from your home, property confiscation, those types of things should never be on that table. So what we need to do is we need to figure out better ways of doing these types of things. And we actually have really good ideas for you. And we'll throw those things out. But more importantly, we have to start drawing the line in petitioning government and saying, look, you have no right to do this. So again, I was kind of leaning forward and I've got basically a minute left. So again, we're going to have Tom James on tomorrow. He's going to give you his website. I hope to have that website up on the webpage by the time we air this tomorrow. But if not, I'll hopefully get it by this weekend. And I will let you know and keep you tuned as to where this content information is going to be. So anyway, we're also on Monday going to have that conversation with Patricia Kent regarding what the Independent American Party is doing and actually taking action in your local community. Now, there are some really good examples that we didn't get into, but in our next conversation with Patricia, because we'll talk to her on a monthly basis, in our next conversation, I hope to have her actually, because she does give some examples, but I want her to actually, you know, give you some guidance as to how you can start doing this as long, and you know, I'm going to stand up and say, look, we've already delineated what a constitutional county is. What really matters is, you know, that we're all working together and we all agree. I believe that the unorganized militia is the only way to go because this is a constitutional right that has been basically acknowledged by Congress in 1903. We're out of time. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.